Blog Talk Radio.
And good evening, everyone. This is Ryan Hayes, and I am back with another episode of Access Radio Live, hosting this for Blog Talk Radio. Well, before I get started with who I have on the show, of course, you could probably read in the headliner if you got the link. I just want to recap a little bit about the football games that happened last Friday, and in particular, the game with the East Forsyth and West Forsyth, two powerhouse football teams that played basically with East Forsyth there to finish state champions, and they were undefeated. West Forsyth undefeated. West Forsyth, I think, was ranked third prior to that game. And it's one of those games where I always like to say somebody's O had to go. And I wasn't able to make it, but I did hear it on the radio. WSJS did a great job of with the broadcast. And it was so good of a job that you could – it was like you was there. You know, of course, if you know football and you hear football talk on the radio, you pretty much know what's going on. From what I could tell, it was about 5,500 people there, which is a real big crowd to play for, and you know, that's when your nerves get to rolling, you start to get a little bit jittery, and it seems like, you know, it didn't get to them. I mean, it was just like a back and forth battle. Battle of who won it the most, and that Sunday I had two of their West Forsyth players, the winning team. West Forsyth won that game, of course. I had two of their players on my podcast Sunday. It was Mac David, who was a linebacker, and defensive back Chris Van Cleet, and they were two sophomores. Well, I wanted to talk to sophomores because, I mean, at the end of the day, you know, you're two sophomores starting on varsity, so I really want to know kind of their take on it. I mean, sometimes in that position, and you're in a position where you have to perform, sometimes young people kind of fold up like that, but no, they rose to the occasion and they help get their team the victory. So we go into tonight because West Forsyth has to play Davie. It'll be homecoming. It'll be West Forsyth's homecoming. So, of course, the game's going to be at West Forsyth, and they're going to be playing Davie High School, who year in and year out has consistently had a good football team. And so I decided to reach out to three of their football players. Nate Hampton, quarterback, Tate Carney, running back, Jack Reynolds, who's a wide receiver. Just want to talk to them about their last game. They played R.J. Reynolds school that I graduated from. Just been having a problem the last couple of years, really kind of getting their football team up and running. But be that as it may, Davie went out there and beat my high school. But it's all good. I mean, you got to go out there and compete. So I'm getting ready to bring them on. And so, yeah, we're going to have some questions for them. And I'm here. If you guys are in the Sam Riley area, you want to come join me at the Panera Bread here in Cloverdale in Winston-Salem, come join me, live podcast. So, yeah, I'll have them on after the music. Okay, so they're all three and are in, like, one place together. So, I'll just start. Do I got you all? Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Yep.
Okay, so there you go. Again, I got Nate Hampton, Jack Reynolds, and Tate Carney here. And so we're going to start out just basically getting into it, guys. How have y'all been doing since Friday? Just, I'll tell you what, you guys can just answer one at a time. So, yeah.
All right, well, I mean, I just think we've been doing pretty well since Friday, just knowing we're going to have to go up against a 7-0 team. Like, that's never easy to prepare for with them, especially the guys they have out there. So just kind of preparing mentally and then just knowing physically it's going to be a battle through four quarters.
Right. And just because I think just because maybe the people in the audience don't know, just a couple times just announce who you are, and I think they'll get familiarized with the voices later. So continue.
Okay, yeah, that was Nate who just said that. It's about to be Tate talking.
Hey,
go for
Tate.
It.
I really think we've been like our practices have just been so intense lately, and everybody's going and flying around at practice. It's been a really fun like atmosphere at practice, and that's going to carry into the game. And I'm just excited to see it happen.
And this is Jack Reynolds. Coming off that Reynolds win, that was good. When we had as a team, we just had a 3-game losing streak. So win that was definitely boosted our confidence. But we know going against West Forsyth, they're going to bring it to us. They're going to be physical, and we just got to match that.
You know, one of the toughest things to do is bounce back from, you know, dropping 3 straight games. You know, that's when the team normally decides to give up and just chalk it up and say that's the season. But it takes a special set of individuals in a team to actually stay in the fire and fight. You know, it's always trying to find that one motivation, just stay in the fire and fight, no matter how hard the battle gets. So you guys are in preparation for the game versus West Forsyth. Tell me a little bit about what you're seeing. And because I ask this question to a lot of football players now that, you know, there's huddle out there. What have you been seeing, especially, I'll go with you, Nate, from the defensive end of West Forsyth, what are you seeing as a quarterback?
When you watch film, you just see that the defense is really just big and physical, and they have athletes all over the field. I mean, I think it's going to be a fun game because I know a lot of those guys, like Giovanni, one of the linebackers, Jake Hill, Kendall Williams. So, I mean, it's going to be fun going against them, but watching film, you can just tell that they have a very strong defense, and it's not going to be easy to get a whole lot going, but I feel like our offense this year is different, and, you know, we're going to put some points on the board.
All right. What about you, Tate? What are you seeing as a running back?
I'm seeing that they're pretty big up front, and our O-line is just really going to have to step up and play big this week, like they have all season. And they have a great linebacking core, so trying to get through there is going to be difficult, but I believe we can keep pounding and do it.
All right. What about you, Jack? What you got?
We know a couple of their DBs. They're going to get in your grill. They're going to talk to you. But as a receiving group, we can't let that get to us. We got to make some big plays, step up, because, I mean, that's not an easy DB group we're going against.
Yeah, so I want to kind of go back a little bit against the game against R.J. Reynolds, and you guys are coming off of being 0-3. What did it take to kind of keep it together? Like, you know, I kind of said a little earlier about how easy it is to kind of give up. I mean, what did it take to keep it together? Any of you can answer.
I mean, that 0-3 little stretch we went through, every single one of those games we lost by 3 points. So it wasn't like we were getting smacked by these teams. I mean, it was close games every time. So I mean, we knew we had it in us. I mean, I feel like we should really be 7-0 right now, but just some little things that have hurt us. I mean, just being able to break that win streak, it feels good, and just going to have to keep competing.
Right. You know, yeah, go for it.
We're coming back from a couple of injuries. We're getting a couple of our guys back, and we're a little thin, and like our specialty, like our athletes, we're just a little thin. So having them come back is really a big plus for us, and that gave us some confidence.
Oh, for sure. You know what? So I want to kind of and talk a little bit, Tate. So I know you spent the time being broke up a little bit. Tell me a little bit about you know, what happened and the steps you took to get yourself back on the field and get healthy.
So against West Rowan, about the third quarter rolls around, I was I got hit in the knee. I ended up spraining my MCL. So I was out the rest of that game. The next week was just all rehab. I missed a lot of school, got rehab back. I just really worked on my knee as much as I could. And we got a nice brace for it. Feels great. And rehab's still going strong. So it's just been a hard process.
All right. So did you feel like you were did you feel like you were all there last game, or did you feel like you probably didn't have the step or have the bounce or the explosive power? Tell me a little bit. Are you 100%? Like, what's up?
I feel like I am 100% back now. I think it was good to have that game under my belt to be back and to get like the trust back in my knee and just being able to do those moves. I think it was a good thing to come back against Reynolds and be able to show off that.
For sure. So, you know, I know your older brother, Kate Carney, he's running back at Wake Forest. How much of an impact did he have on you? Is he somebody that you kind of sought advice from? Tell me a little bit about his impact that he's had on you.
Definitely. Just advice from, colleges, what to do and how to act. I mean, not just how to play. Like, he's been a big, big role model for me on how to act with my faith or just regular day-to-day. He's been a huge role model about what to look for in a defense. I mean, he's just been a great role model for me.
Yeah, hey, that's word up right there. So just any overall questions, I'll just ask whoever wants to answer. So how do you guys feel as far as your individual contributions on last Friday? Like, obviously, you know, every game, you know, even if you win, there's still opportunities. So, you know, what do you feel like maybe you guys could have done better at in any of the wins or losses? Tell me, and what steps have you taken to kind of alleviate that and try to play a little bit better the next game?
This is Jack, and I think in the first half, you know, we came out firing through the defense, and our defense was doing well as well. But towards the second quarter, we started kind of giving up. We got kind of content, and we just got to work on keeping a foot on the pedal and just not giving up, because we know these other teams coming up right when we let off your foot off the pedal, they're going to take advantage of that, and yeah, we just got to do a better job and keep it coming.
For sure. So, you know, a lot of times, you know, we talk about, you know, these games where, you know, you don't play as good as you want to, and you know, you can. It's always so you always got to just go out there and play hard and leave it all out there and don't have regrets. You know, I tell you my advice that I'll give you, just, you know, being a former football player and being a wrestler, is that you just got to always go out there and like one up on them. You know, if somebody hits you, you hit them back harder or just as hard or harder. I mean, you just got to go out there and just play physical football and force them to break mentally. You know, when you guys are out there playing, like, you know, what kind of emotions do you feel? You know, and I hate to be repetitive in my quotes or questions, but you know, when I say emotions, you know, I mean, I don't really think you should play with any kind of emotions in a sense, you know, just because, you know, emotions don't win football games. But, you know, but just what do you, I guess, in a sense, what do you feel out there during the game? Just tell me a little bit about that.
For me, as a quarterback, I'm just always thinking cool, calm, and collective. Just go out there, play your game, have fun. Whenever we score touchdowns, get excited with the rest of the guys and just celebrate those big moments.
All right. Anybody else?
Yeah, Tate here. I think I go out there and just think, like, I'm a wrecking ball. Like, I got to go do everything I can. I mean, cool, calm, and collected, that's not me. I'm going at it all the time. That's more my fault.
So you come through like a wrecking ball, so I guess you're Miley Cyrus now? I had to. You, my man, you opened yourself up for it, but then I was like, well, are they kind of too young to even know that song, or was I going to be, you know, all y'all had to do is just stay silent and just act like you didn't know, and I'd have been the one stuck looking stupid. it's all good. Hey, she come through like a wrecking ball all day. I'll never stop her. Anyways, oh my God, I forgot this is a live podcast. Oops. So you know, Friday, you know, it's a typical Friday game day. What's it like? You know, what's it like just kind of walking the halls on a Friday night as you guys get prepared? What's the student body like? What's the overall mood going on? You know, with you guys and with the student body.
This is Jack, and I don't know, walking around the halls on a Friday, you just have a different mentality. You know it's game day. You know who you're going against. Personally, on my mind during class, I got the game on my mind. Of course, I'm doing my best in school, but, you know, the game's on my mind, and that, I don't know, that's just what you're thinking about the whole day. It's tough. Leading up to the game, putting that, you just get into that game ready mentality.
All right. Who else?
I think the I think the students kind of look at you different. They're like, they're ready for the game too. They want to come and cheer you on as much as they can, and you just you don't want to let them down either. So that's always a big thing, is just the way they look at you whenever you're walking through the halls with that jersey on. All
right, so we talk about, somebody brought up music. What music do you guys listen to, Davey? When I think, I'm just going to be, and maybe this is the stigma, but when I think of Davie County, I think of country music and trucks with big mud tires, or, you know, so that's just what I think when I think of Davie, like, just big mud tires, trucks, country music, you know, with the belt buckle and, you know, like, but anyways, what kind of music guys listen to?
Personally, I'm not a big fan of country music on game days, but I'm not that guy that listens to a lot of rap on game days. I listen to a lot of that motivational songs. Like, you'll hear me listen to some Rocky music or just some, I don't know, rock and roll, get me ready and amped up for the game.
Right. Anybody else?
I mean, personally for me, I have a little bit of something that's going to get me going. I might listen to a couple rap songs, but then I have some country music going to just kind of ease my mind and just kind of get me a little bit more calm before the game, the calm before the storm. And then I don't listen to a whole lot of music. Our pregame music we usually have before we go out on the field, when we're on the field warming up, it's usually a lot of country music, kind of older kind of music. It doesn't really get you pumped up, so before you go out on the
right.
field, you kind of got to get yourself pumped up.
Right. Anybody else? I know we got a third one. I've never heard three of you.
Yeah. I'm more of a rock and roll kind of guy. I like the juices going with all that stuff.
Right.
Metallica, AC/DC, all that good stuff.
Oh yeah, and I'll tell you what, to go back on that Rocky soundtrack, the Rocky 5 one was Rocky 4. That soundtrack's pretty good. That was the soundtrack from when you know, of course Rocky fought the Russian. When I actually go do jogging, I actually listen to that soundtrack. But so it's funny cuz, you know, me coaching and everything, man. Some kids they play some like weird music. And like, I remember this is a couple years ago, I was coaching and, you know, everybody's got the speaker and Bluetooth speaker in the locker room. And, next thing you know, this kid starts like blasting that, like, I want to cut my skin 4 or 5 times music. That I'm like, dude, no, like you gotta stop, like that I gotta stay away from that just scream, that stuff. Like, no, nah, dude. Like, that's, I'm like, you really trying to go out there and kill somebody, son? Like, stop. You know, it scared me. I'm like, dude, you listening to that? Like, do you hear what homeboy's saying? As far as I go into music like that, I listen to like Disturbed, like that kind of. I don't know if you guys are even old enough, or for they even know what Disturbed was. But they had some good hype music back in the day. But anyway, but that's great. You know, everybody has their one thing that kind of gets them into the game. But so, you know, I want you guys to kind of talk about a little bit about the, you know, your teammates, you know, just, you know, any, you know, you guys could talk, just talk about your team, whether it be offensively or defensively, just people who you like to shout out that continuously makes an impact every game, whether it be a win or loss.
Personally, coming from Nate, I just want to shout out the whole O-line. You know, those are the guys that are always up there blocking for me, and, you know, I couldn't do anything without them. And then I got my guys out wide, Zahari and Zamir, Chase, those, and Evan Little. I mean, those are my other receivers that are always doing it for me. And then having Josh Robinson back there running back with me as well. He's just another big threat for us. So it's great. Just the whole vibe we have on offense has been pretty awesome these last couple weeks and just going throughout the whole summer. So I'm just looking forward to keeping it going.
And stay here. I'm a big fan of the OL, man. They've been getting it done all season, and I mean, they've just been doing what they need to. They've been moving guys out of the way, giving me lanes, and I mean, I couldn't be more happy of them.
And Jack here, I got to shout out the DBs every day in practice, just working us receivers, and they're ready for competition. When it comes one-on-one time, they never back down. They're coming out ready to compete against us. And you got people like Caleb Justice, the other Justice, Christian Lyons. They'll get physical with you, and they're going to talk, but they only do this to make each other better. And we love that as receivers.
Right. You know, you play one of those games, and it's just, what do you guys do like to nurse like little injuries, whether it be for practice or, you know, what kind of remedies do you use? I always ask this because sometimes it could, you know, could help other people, because I know, you know, you never go into a game 100%. So tell me about little nagging injuries and how you deal with them.
I've faced a couple injuries earlier throughout the year, but usually I just kind of listen to what the trainer has to say. Then I also go to physical therapy, and they usually do some kind of needling and different kind of therapy. So if I get hurt, like I hurt my elbow earlier in the year, I always just went to physical therapy, and they got me fixed up and got me ready to go on Friday.
All right. So when I say that, because if you got physical therapy, if it's a place, you know, you can feel free to plug whoever, you know, if they help you, they help you. So, you know, if you go somewhere, you know, feel free to shout out the business, man. You know, it's all good. But anybody else?
Yeah. Jack here. Fortunately, I haven't had any serious injuries this year. But if it's one of those little, you know, fingernail things, that's what I've had to deal with. My dad, would, you know, used to just say, suck it up, man. You got to go play on Friday night. But this is where I come to my mom for some help. But she'll just tell me, you know, the usual, ice it, heat it, poke some nails in your nail, something, get some blood out of you there. Yeah, but it's nothing serious. When that adrenaline's running, you don't really feel that, those little injuries in the game.
Yeah, you ever?
Yeah.
You know, we talk. What's that now? Go for it.
I was going to say, for me, it's more like I get that adrenaline going and I don't really feel much. It's just ready to roll. That adrenaline helps me out.
You know, for me at like 37 years old, like everything hurts. When I'm done, I usually go out to this place in Moxville called Combat Athletics. You know, here's the plug. Here's the plug right here. anybody that wants to get better with strength and conditioning, agility, you want to learn competitive sports, whether it be wrestling, jiu-jitsu, Muay Thai kickboxing, go to Combat Athletics on Cooper Creek Road in Mocksville, North Carolina, right beside the Walmart. And go go get up with my man Josh Stanley and Shelton Sells. But anyway, so I'll go out there to that place, and, you know, and I don't know why I just continuously believe or think that I'm young and I get to wrestle, you know, kids like Jack Jarvis. I've wrestled kid Andy Flores up there. I think he's a football player, man. And man, I come out of that Joker hurting, especially back when the Omedo boys was going up there. And, man, I just hurt the whole time. Like, no matter what I did, man, I'd be hurt for like 3 days. And I think it's about that time where I kind of make my transition off of the mat, because it's – young kids are killing me these days, man. But I mean, it's cool. Everybody's got their own, you know, own kind of way to handle things like that and just not let it get to them. What – you guys when you guys watch college football, like, where do you guys – do you guys typically watch it anywhere? Like, just, I know it's just a random question, but, you know, where do you guys like to watch your college football at? Do you guys like stay home, watch it, go out to eat anywhere?
For me, I usually go on some visits some weekends, so I usually get to see some college games live. But whenever I'm at home watching games, I like to just watch the defenses and just try to see what they're doing before the snap and just try to call what the defense is going to do. Just always be taking mental reps and just always getting better no matter where they might be.
Yeah.
That recliner couch is my spot on a Saturday afternoon. That's where I'm always at.
Hey, I'll tell you what. You know what? You know what, guys? You don't tell you what I like to do? When I like to go watch football games, I go to O'Callaghan's in Mocksville, North Carolina. Great food for a cheap price. And I watch all my NFL and college football there. So go to O'Callaghan's in Mocksville. So, yeah, anyways. Say what?
Yeah, the owner of that place, he's a really good guy. I mean, that whole family's just been awesome.
Jack here has had a few problems with the owner. No, I'm just kidding. He's a good guy.
Yeah, I know. I'm pretty sure that you've had your fair share of problems with the owner. Trust me. and you may have some in the future, but you know that's what dads are for, huh?
Yes, sir.
I always like to hit on this with a lot of And of course, I've asked these questions before, but what is your idea, or what is your idea of a good teammate? Like, what do you want from the contributions? Like, what from the contributions of your team? Like, what? Yeah.
For me, I mean, everybody's gonna be like all high on you whenever you're doing good, but it's whenever you're doing bad and they come up to you and tell you it's gonna be all right, that they still trust you, and that's not a problem for them. Whenever you're down, and they come and pick you back up.
Anyone else?
Whenever I think of a good teammate, I think of that teammate that doesn't just get happy for themselves whenever they make a big play, but they get happy for their other teammates. And I think a perfect example of that is Evan Little. That dude, if he makes a great block for you, it's not all about catching balls for him. He'll make great blocks, and he's hyped, just as hyped as he would as scoring a touchdown. He loves the team as a whole, and after a win, that's probably the most hyped guy you'll see in the locker room.
Oh, that's great. That's great. You know, you got to have it is a family. You do got to have teammates that they're willing to contribute. And I'm glad you guys shout out, you know, you guys consistently shouted out your offensive line, because if I'm to be 100% candid with you, and I think it's this way across the board, I could ask probably anybody who their favorite football team is, and then I could say, okay, well, your favorite football team's the Carolina Panthers, and then I would say, well, name me at least 5 offensive or defensive linemen, and they can never tell you. And because those are the people that you know, that they're not the ones running the ball or in position to where they get noticed a lot, but they're the ones that are kind of down, you know, down there on the line of scrimmage, getting dirty, you know, to try to protect the skill position players, which I don't know, man. Me being a offensive, you know, defensive lineman, I always kind of got upset with the word skill position, because it's like, okay, they say a skill position is like running back, defensive back, quarterback, and I'm like, so I guess a lineman's not a skill position. I mean, that's the way I take it, and maybe I shouldn't take it like that, but it damn how it sounds. But
yep.
You know,
those guys are always in the trenches doing the work for you.
Yeah.
So.
Right.
Yeah, my boy Cam.
Yeah, Nate.
He's always there for me.
Right. Oh yeah, Nate. I want to ask you a couple questions, just around, because I've never played quarterback. But like, tell me a guy that you just probably sacked you the hardest in, like, in high school football. Like, because you know, anytime you've been sacked hard, you're gonna remember the joker that did it, and you're probably gonna remember him for like the rest of your life.
The hardest guy that's ever sacked me, I'd say, is his name's Davari Ritchie. He's a four-star D lineman from Glenn. He's just a huge guy. And I remember he got a hold of me one play last year, and, you know, I really felt that one. And I mean, that was probably the worst hit I've taken in a while.
Yeah, you know, the crazy part about being a quarterback, from what I see, is, like, you know, of course, if you turn, and, you know, of course, you gotta hope that somebody's, like, protecting your blind side, and then somebody comes and hits you in the back, and it's not like you can prepare for it. That's what it seems like sucks the most. Like, you don't see the person coming. And I see some quarterbacks get, like, just straight lit up. And I'm like, oh, my God, you're tougher than I am. I couldn't be a quarterback, or I couldn't even be a wide receiver when I'm doing some sort of slant route and get hung out to dry, you know, and get popped by a defensive back. I mean, I couldn't do it. Like, I got to know where I'm at. You know, I'd rather be on the offensive line. At least I know where everybody's at, who's in front of me. Nate, I know that, tell me a little bit about, I think I've read somewhere where, West Virginia gave you an offer. Tell me about, you know, some of the schools you're looking at and some of the schools is kind of giving you some offers and stuff. So, yeah, touch on that a little bit.
West Virginia was my first scholarship offer. They offered me back April, I want to say, sometime around there. And then Florida Atlantic also offered me this summer. But recently, a lot of the schools, I think they're just kind of waiting till December and just kind of waiting after the season. Because I know during season it's just a lot to recruit other guys, but Oklahoma State's been pretty high on me, and then South Carolina, Kentucky have also been recruiting me pretty hard as well.
Right. Anybody else on the team? You got anybody looking at you, or, you know, schools you're interested in? Tate, Jack.
Wake Forest offered me in I want to say December or January, sometime right after the season. That was really cool, but since then, Wake Forest.
Right.
And
who
then,
am I speaking with?
Tate.
Oh, yeah, Wake Forest. Yeah, I guess you go figure on that one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of the places I've been to, ECU, talked to State, Duke, Carolina, Virginia Tech, some of those schools. That's about all I've been talking to so far.
And
right.
Jack doesn't have any offers, but Duke recently has sent me a few letters. But besides that, no, that's really been it.
All right, I see you, Jack. You going third person out here. All right. it's all good. So tell me a little bit, like, like strength and conditioning wise, like, what, like, Tate, what's your, you know, what's 40 time, man? What you running that 40 in?
I've been running a lot of 4.7s this summer, and I've really been working on it with a dude named Will Bradley from Greensboro. Actually, all three of us have, and he's really helped me with my start, my back end. He's really made the whole difference. A low 4.7 right now.
Right. No, anything you guys run is way lower than what I ran at that age. Anybody else?
I mean, this is Nate. I'm like a 5-flat guy. I ran a 5-flat laser at the Nike opening kind of thing, but I just want to say shout out to Torque Performance as well, as they're just always been there helping me, just help me become the athlete I am today, just help me grow physically, and just Adam Barber, the guy who runs it, really just helped me through the recruiting process as well.
For sure. Now, you know, those don't think I don't know them Barber boys. They were wrestlers too, Adam and Jarrett. They're some big boys. But yeah, it's I hear a lot about Torque. That's where I think Cooper Wall went there. I think he said he used to go there.
Yes,
I hear not. Yeah. I heard nothing but great things about him. And if you guys are just in general, I'll tell you a guy, and you can find him on Facebook, but one of the guys that consistently overlook him, in the grand scheme of things to get to the pro level, look up a guy named Derek Spies. Derek Spies lives in Winston-Salem, and he is the personal trainer for a guy named Anthony Levine, who I helped coach in football back in 2001-2002. He's a DB for the Baltimore Ravens, who went to R.J. Reynolds High School. And that guy's trained the speed skating team for the for China. He did that for the Winter Olympics. He's trained a couple other NFL football players. So that's just a good guy to have in your corner, because he's made a lot of connections. And he's really good at his work. If you ever get a chance, look up Anthony Levine, Baltimore Ravens, and you'll see this workout that he does in Haynes Park, which would have the person that's training him is the guy that I'm talking about, Coach Spies. But looks like you guys kind of already have your off-season strength and conditioning, which, something I like to touch on is, like, you guys, kids these days, think they have a lot more opportunity. That stuff wasn't around when I was in high school. Like, if anybody want to learn how to get faster, all you got to do is just take out your smartphone and put in Google how to get faster, and 100 pages of stuff will pop up about how to get faster, what to eat to lose weight, what to eat to gain weight, this and that, and then you got places popping up like Torque, like Combat Athletics, that you can go to and learn all this stuff. Which kind of just brings me to a question that I ask a lot of athletes. How are you guys managing being an athlete, in this social media age, having Twitter, having Instagram, and Snapchat? How do you guys manage that, with some of the stuff that can go wrong from that?
Tate here, you just got to keep a level head. You can't really talk too much, because then people from other teams are just going to come right back at you, and it doesn't really accomplish anything. So you got to keep a level head and just kind of keep to yourself about that kind of stuff.
Right. Anyone else?
I just think through, like, a lot of the recruiting process already, I just realized, like, how many of the coaches follow you on Twitter, and how everybody's just kind of following you and just watching everything you're doing. And another coach also reached out to me recently and got me on Snapchat. So, I mean, the coaches are just watching you everywhere. They're watching every move you make. So really just got to be smart about it and don't do anything stupid, and just always be wary that everybody's watching your next move.
And Jack here, all the social media is very cool and all, but as an athlete, you got to watch what you put on the internet. Whatever you do on the internet, they, the old saying. So you just got to be smart at the end of the day. That's all it is.
And it's crazy, because you brought up a good point. I can't tell you how many times I've turned on television and they're talking on ESPN about something that some pro football player put on his Twitter when he was, I don't know, 15 years old. It's like, you know, they want to come and bring that back. So you really, really do got to be careful. And the coach that added you on Snapchat, yeah, don't go trying to block him from your story and play that game, because then, you know, then he'll know. It's like, oh, so this guy doesn't post anything on his Snapchat. No, I'm just giving you a hard time. You just gotta put the right stuff on there. It's crazy though. I guess I'll segue into another question. It's how do you handle with how easy it is to be accessible? Like, you know, for instance, some of you guys, I hit you guys up on your social media. So just how do you handle the accessibility? Does it get a little bit too much, or I mean, what do you do to kind of, you know, decompress sometimes?
I mean, a lot of the coaches are texting and always saying stuff. But I just like to just kind of take a break from it sometimes, because it can just be a lot, just having to always be in contact and text enough and just kind of just getting away from it sometimes. I mean, it gets a little annoying, I guess, after a while. But it's not easy to go through, especially with what everybody's always saying. So sometimes you just have to take it easy and just kind of lose track of it. So.
Anyone else? How do you guys handle that?
I think Nate nailed it. I mean, everything you said, you just got to kind of take a step back and breathe a little bit and not really think about it sometimes.
Well, yeah, that's good. You know, it's just kind of I just kind of, you know, put that out there because, you know, so many athletes, like, they really make a mistake with social media. Back, you know, I'm 37 years old, so back in the day, we didn't have all that, and I think Facebook was just still kind of getting off the ground, and it was only available to college kids only. But then it's now these days, everybody's like, Instagram Live, Facebook Live, and all that stupid stuff. It, honestly, man, if you really want to get on social media, some of the stupid stuff that I see, some of the wrestlers that I coach, I follow, and just, you know, random other kids, some of the stupid stuff that I see is that thing where somebody puts on their Snapchat, please ask me honest questions. Like, man, get out of here, dude, really? You know, like really? Is this what we're doing? Like, yeah, please ask me honest questions. Like, no. I mean, who cares? Like, yeah, stop. I'm pretty sure you guys have done that too. So, I mean, if anything, sorry, because you just got clowned. But, I mean, I guess it's that thing. I like I said, I'm 37. I don't use, like, Snapchat. I just like to, you know, kind of Snapchat where I'm at. I feel like I'm doing something cool that everybody would like to see. That's what I do. But, you know, some people get on there and they put on there, what's the moves? Like, just call and ask. Like, you know, I don't know. That's just me being stupid. Like, whatever. I mean, you know, my moves are typical grown up moves. Like, I'm gonna move myself from work to wrestling and then to the bed. I'm only making like three moves a day. It depends on the weekend. So, you know, outside of speaking of, like, you know, weekends and stuff, what do you guys do that other people listening would be surprised that you do? So tell me a little something that you just don't, you know, what do you do for fun away from football?
Whenever I have free time, I like to go fishing, and Jack's house is a great spot for it. I mean, I love going down
Hold on. Jack, bro, what you got? A little pond or something?
Yeah, we do have a little pond in the back. We just put it in like 3 years ago. Dad stocked it up with a lot of fish, so it's kind of a honey spot. But yeah, all the friends, they like coming over, fishing, catching some haul, weighing them, having competitions, seeing who's got the biggest fish. Yeah, but that's all fun. Fishing,
yeah,
it's just calming, honestly.
Can I get an invite, dude? That's all I did all summer was like throw a line in the water, man. You're wrong, man. All right, well, now hold on. Let's go ahead. What were you saying now? Okay, besides fishing, what now? Back to what was
fishing,
it, Nate? Yeah.
I mean, I usually go and have these little workouts on Sunday mornings with one of my quarterback trainers. That just kind of helps me ease everything and just kind of get my mind right, I guess.
Cool. And it's, I guess, for Jack, you know, I know you fish, but what else do you do?
Yeah, besides fishing, I love hanging out with my friends, but, you know, family's first. So whenever you got family in town or Chris comes down to Mocksville, you just love spending time with your family. And my dad, you know, his way of bonding is working outside the house, you know, doing some chores outside. So, yeah, I don't do much, but, yeah, just family, honestly.
So, Jack, real quick. So, Chris, when he comes down, he'll actually be making, like, a Northwestern trek to come up to visit. You know, anyways, you know, I'm just giving you a hard time, dude. I mean, I was right. Last time I checked, I thought Charlotte was a little bit south, so he'd have to come. I'm probably wrong though. I mean, anyways, I was messing with you, Jack. What about you, Tate? Was that who answered already?
No, I haven't answered yet. I like to mow grass a lot of times. It's just something that really eases your mind.
Stop. I mean, real good. You mow grass to have fun, son. Let me tell you something. And I'm black, bro. You think I ain't mowing grass, man? That ain't happening, man. So like, just beams down on me, dude. No, sir. And you really like to do that for fun, Tate? Really?
Heck yeah, man. It clears your mind. You ain't got nothing to think about.
Right. That seems like some typical, like, I guess, I don't know, mow grass. That's kind of like what I use. That's kind of like what I use fishing for. I mean, you know, you kind of get your thoughts out. You know, it's great that you find other things to do. I try to go bowling sometimes. As a grown up, I mean, there's a lot of things I can do to occupy my time, but, I mean, shoot, I'm about to be 40 in like 3 years. And I mean, whatever floats your boat, as long as it's positive and it's something that's going to, you get some value out of it. Before we wrap up, just real quick. Just tell me a little bit about Friday, man. Like, so what, you know, what preparations have you guys made? Like, what's, you know, what's not really the game plan, but just tell me a little bit about the expectations of like how you want it to go.
I mean, we've just been watching a lot of film. We're just hoping that I'm confident in the offense. We're going to put up points. And just going to execute at a high level when we go out there Friday. So just going out there and doing that, and just hopefully the defense can hold them to a minimum, and we go out with a win.
All right. Anybody else?
And Jack here. We know Wes, obviously, great team. They're that type of team that even though they're 7-0, they're not going to look at our record. See that we're 4-3 and take it easy. They're going to bring it to us. They're going to want to beat us by 50 if they can. But we just got to match their intensity. As we know, they're a high-energy team. They're going to be in a grill the whole night. We just got to match that. you know, it's a big game.
Right.
I think we know we're gonna try. Like we know we're gonna try and score a lot of points. We gotta trust our other players, not just us, to do it all. We have to kind of take what they're gonna give us too.
That's good. So I got one more question that I want each of you guys to answer, and I like to ask this question. And you'll, if you ever listen to any of my past podcasts, I hope you did, because you're probably prepared for it. And it's going to be easy for everybody else to prepare, because somebody has to answer first, and when somebody's answering first, the other person's thinking about what they're going to say. So I'll start with Nate, because he just seems like he might be the smarter of the bunch, or maybe not. I'm not sure. Just seems like a quarter seems like a quarterback's a smart person. So
yeah, you're right,
Nate. Yeah. So Nate, if you could have dinner with three people, living or dead, who would it be and why?
Number one would definitely be Tom Brady. Just kind of hearing his side of football, and just I've always just wanted to be around him. And then number two, I wanted to eat dinner with Jesus, just kind of just get wisdom from him and be able to sit down and have a meal with him while he was alive and on earth. And then my third person, I don't know, I want to eat with Abe Lincoln. I just feel like that'd be a cool dude to be around, and just know like how important he was in history. Just, I think it'd be cool to have dinner with him.
All right, I got three for you. I think I'd like to eat with Brett Favre. He seems like a pretty cool dude. Probably Tim Tebow. He's real into his faith. I'd really enjoy getting to talk to him. He's a cool dude. And then my third, I don't know, I was thinking maybe some Hank Williams Jr., some good old country boy. Get to talk to my man.
You know what? You know, if the South would have won, we'd have it made. That's the Hank Williams Jr. song, guys. So everybody's like,
yeah.
I don't like you. You're like, oh, what? Hold on. What do I say to that? I just put you guys in like a pretty awkward moment. I actually listened to a little bit of Hank Williams Jr. myself. All right, other one.
All right. This is Jack, and first guy I have to say Peyton Manning. I'm not a big Tom Brady fan. I'm a Peyton type of guy. Love the way he plays and everything. My second guy, probably my favorite player, even though he just left the Cowboys, Cole Beasley. I look up to him because, you know, he doesn't have the size, not the best speed, but, you know, he has great routes and all that. And my third guy, another football guy, he's a party animal. I'd love to have a couple conversations with my man over there.
Oh, yeah. So the reason why I asked that question, because believe it or not, one of my first major job interviews, the person that was interviewing me just broke out with that question, like off the gate. Like it was like not even any kind of an icebreaker. So we sat down and he said, if you could have three people living there, who would it be and why? And this is going to – and I said this, and this is kind of going to throw you guys for a loop. I said Fidel Castro, Osama bin Laden, and Saddam Hussein. And that's what they had. Well, so they – you know, of course, the vibe was – I didn't get the best vibe, so he said, well, why? And I said, well – and this is serious. Like all jokes aside, I said, well, I want to know why they feel that way about, you know, different people. You know, why does – somebody feel that way about the American people and some people in their own country, to where they're willing to get people to kill themselves as long as they kill 25 or 30 people of another race. You know why? You know why did they want to be the kind of the dictators that they want to become? And just like, you know, what's in your head? Like, is this something that can be rectified? Like, what can somebody like I do to help you be better than that? You know, just different things like that. You know, I went a little bit in depth with it. I went a little bit more in depth with it, you know, but yeah, I mean, it's just because I did, you know, I want to know what's in the minds of people that feel so much hatred towards running, you know, towards anybody. So, you know, it's just kind of getting into the mind of them, you know. I mean, it's not me really trying to change their minds. It's just wanting to know, like, you know, what, why do you feel that way? Did you get called ugly as a child? I mean, did you get bullied on? Did you have a bad smile and people picked on you? I mean, I don't know. But anyway, so I'm getting ready to wrap it up. But anybody got any last words? What about, you know, anything that you could probably tell, you know, football players coming up, you know, any parting words?
I mean, just to stay strong in your faith. It's a really big thing. It can help you through a lot of lows and a lot of highs. It'll just change your life whenever you have that faith.
Anyone else?
Yeah, I agree with Tate 100%. I agree with Tate 100%. You know, faith is strong. I just want to say thank you for having us on this podcast today.
Yeah, I just want to say we appreciate you. Everyone else around us appreciates you. We've heard nothing but good things about you. That's what we want to say.
Yeah, and if you guys, some of you guys know me as Ryan Hayes, but if you ever hear about a guy named Freight Train, that is my nickname. And yeah, that's probably what you probably hear that a lot. Yeah, and I was like a freight train back in high school. At least I thought that I was, and then the name just kind of stuck with me. But I appreciate you guys. Listen, 100% for being on the podcast. You know, taking time out of your day to do this. I wish you guys the best of luck Friday, you know, injury free, you know, and just keep going and keep trying to work hard to get the outcome that you want. You know, I always say that if you're winning by 10 points, play like you're down by 5 points. And if you're down by 10 points, play like you're down by 20 points. So, you know, you just got to keep going and getting at it. And again, hey, thanks for being on my podcast. And hey, that's a wrap. I'm getting sick and tired of you guys. Go to bed.
Thank you.
Appreciate
Thank
it.
Thank you.
We'll see you. Thanks. All right, guys. Hey, so that was the football players from Davie. I tell you, I've always had a good interactions with the students at Davie, of course. Some I helped coach in club wrestling. Great community. You know what? I like the whole decal. I think it's like Davie County ass whooping, and that's like written like everywhere. I've seen it before. So they got their own little slogan. But great group of guys. I'm gonna be at the game Friday, so I'm gonna probably go up. And if you ever see my Instagram, I always take pictures and I point at everybody. So yeah, they're all getting a picture with the point. That point's been famous, and everybody, people that don't know me, they're like, "Oh, you're that coach? Are you that guy that points at everybody on the Instagram?" So I mean, they will be deserving of a point, a picture with a point, regardless of whether they win or lose the game, because they seem like three cool cats. And so yeah. Anyways, this is Ryan Hayes, and this is another episode of Access Radio Live. And everybody have a good night, and make sure, yeah, you hit your knees and say your prayers and you know, get some Jesus, throw some Jesus down on yourself and everyone else, and just be positive. Anyways, so yeah, this is Ryan Hayes, and that's a wrap. Thanks for joining me.